ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
successful yogis and gyanis may attain. And the interesting thing is that he's chanting his mantra, he has great faith in his mantra, he's very pure-hearted, very, very strict, but more or less what the Vaikuntha Dutas tell him is, this is as far as you go. With what you're doing, this is as far as you get. But anyway, let's talk a little more about that. I'm going to try and read some of the verses. And but let's chant this verse first, which is at the conclusion of this chapter on worship. And the Vaikuntha Dutas now conclude their instruction to Gopinath in the following words.
Sriman Nama Prabhu Sasya
Sriman Nama Prabhu Sasya
Shri Murti Apyati Priyam
Shri Murti Apyati Priyam
Jagaditam Sukhopasham
Jagaditam Sukhopasham
Sarasam Tat Samam Nahi
Sarasam Tat Samam Nahi
Sriman Nama Prabhu Sasya
Sriman Nama Prabhu Sasya
Shri Murti Apyati Priyam qualified or not, who serves it with any of the senses.
It is easily worshipped, requiring only some movement of the tip of the tongue, and it is sarasa, full of rasa, a term that can be understood in several ways. The commentary continues, but because Gopi Pranandam Prabhu Sanatana Goswami made certain points which come quickly in sequence one after the other, I'll just refer to them in a more gradual way. Once again, the verse, dearer to the Lord than even his own beautiful form, his easily worshipped holy name benefits the entire world. Indeed, nothing is as full of nectar as the holy name of the Lord. But here the focus will be on the meaning of this word sarasa, and the verse in itself is self-explanatory. In his play Lalita Madhava, Rupa Goswami tells a story which is also cited in Bhakti Goswami Prasindhi of Lord Krishna in his new Vrindavan and Dwarkadish walking past a, well, he's all covered now, but walking past a marble pillar. And you know, highly polished marble is like a mirror. And when he sees the reflection of himself in the pillar, he stops and becomes completely mesmerized. And he said, who is this? Who is this beautiful person? He loses the nature of Krishna's attractive form, so powerful that it bewilders Krishna, and he says, I want to just embrace this form and relate to it just as in the way as Srimati Radharani. So, and of course that's one of the, that type of mood is one of the reasons for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance. But here, the statement of the Vaikuntha Dutas is that as attractive as Krishna's form is to him, so even more attractive is Krishna's name to him. Krishna's even more attractive to his name. In his Namamrita, Guru Swami also explains how Krishna's name is more merciful than Krishna himself, because the holy name of the Lord forgives offenses, although it takes time, but it forgives offenses committed to both itself as well as to Krishna. So this is being stated here, and the Vaikuntha Dutas say, and his holy name is Sarasa, it is full of rasa. And the importance of this word rasa is, I'm just going to go back to the beginning of the conversation. This is verse 184, and I'm in 150, so there's about 60, probably more, about 70 verses which directly glorify the holy name, which directly glorify Nam Sankirtan. And that's why it's so important, because even in sixth canto, which is about chanting the holy name of the Lord, especially, of course, the Ajamil part, nonetheless, the type of elaborate exposition that you find here is really outstanding. And that's why I'm going to refer to the beginning, because as I mentioned earlier, that Gokumar, by chanting his mantra, as we're chanting Hare Krishna mantra, so you can put yourself in his place, he's gotten out of this material world and he's gotten to the realm of liberation, but he wants to keep going because he's not chanting the Ma mantra, he's chanting a form of the Gopal mantra. What our initiated Brahmins chant, not exactly the same one, but sort of another version of it. in which he's Gopal. He's looking for Gopal. And that's his quest. His quest is to attain Gopal's eternal service. But the Vaikuntha Dutas tell him this when they meet him. This says, accept as true that we have come here only for your sake. And please hear what is beneficial for you. If you want to reach Vaikuntha, then give up everything and with pure love practice the nine forms of devotional service. In other words, in short, they say, and then in the commentary it says, giving up everything means that he should be ready to leave Mahakalapur and he should give attachment to his formal chanting, the way that he was chanting. His chanting out of duty should transform into ecstatic Nam Sankirtan, Sarasa, in which the enthusiasm of his love for Madan Gopal Dev would be directed into the nine methods of pure bhakti. So in other words, the Vaikuntha Dutas say, by chanting Hare Krishna, this is as far as you're getting when you're just chanting it out of duty. I got to chant my 16 rounds. I have to attend the morning program. I have to do my sadhana. So this type of chanting has limited result, limited benefit. It will get you to liberation, but if you want to go to Vaikuntha, then you have to do more. And they say, what do you have to do more? You have to stop this formal, or at least you have to transform this formal chanting into ecstatic chanting. Okay, but he doesn't leave they don't leave Gopakumar just hanging there, but they tell him, how does that chanting come about? He says, honor the Bhagavatam and other scriptures that tell about this devotional service. Hear from them regularly about the Lord's pastimes, for when those narrations enter the holes of your ears, you relish them with love, they will swiftly award you the Lord's abode. So it's very interesting. Gopakumar he's an extraordinarily pious person because he's born in Govardhan. He's got great faith in his guru. He's chanting his mantra. He's getting all these attainments. But the interesting thing is, he doesn't really know much about Krishna consciousness. He's not educated. He's a simple cowherd boy. So, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, bhava jnana tapasa putramat bhavanavita. The same thing here, Vaikuntha Dutas say, if you actually want to attain this bhava, or this rasa, as this verse says, and we'll go back to this verse, if you want to attain this rasa, by which you get to Vaikuntha, then you're going to have to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. You don't have to understand the process of devotional service. You have to have Gyan. Gyan meaning you have to know the science of Bhakti Yoga. You have to understand Sambandha Gyan, Abhideya, Prayojana. You have to understand the principles of devotional service. Just chanting is not enough. Or it may be enough, but it's going to take you a long time before that knowledge of devotional service becomes manifest if you don't make extraneous effort. So they're saying, and Sanatana Goswami in the purport explains it means also associate with Vaishnavas, associate with more advanced Vaishnavas, and understand what is your relationship with this Gopal? What is he really doing? What is his nature, what is his features, what are his pastimes, hear about these things ultimately in combination with your chanting, they will transform your chanting into chanting with ecstasy, and ultimately chanting with ecstasy will transform into chanting with love. So when we talk about sarasam, this is that type of chanting, that sarasa, and then let me just go to the different meanings that Sanatana Goswami gives for this verse. Sanatana Goswami is really extraordinary in terms of his commentaries. Of course, here is on his own book. of which should be known that Sanat Goswami says this Brihat Bhagavatamrita was revealed to him. He didn't just like sit down and think up of a good storyline. But this is all revelation. This is the history that took place. These are historical events that are revealed to him by Jaimini Rishi, by the grace of Jaimini Rishi, Keshav Bharati Maharaj, and Tridvaita Maharaj, all the editors are sitting back there. They did an extraordinary job on this book. And Jaimini Rishi's grace, Sanatana Goswami wrote, and he, Sanatana Goswami here and elsewhere, when he gives commentaries on 10th canto, then he always says, Japa, or it can be understood like this, or it can be understood like that, or it can be understood in different ways. In other words, there are many meanings to scriptural statements, which interestingly have the same siddhanta, the same conclusion, lead you to the same place, but through different paths. I'll just go to Sarasa, and then hopefully we can. So Sanatana Goswami gives 9 meanings for what this word Sarasa is, and they're helpful for us because here is we're always chanting Hare Krishna, but now we're going to have a festival of Nam Sankirtan. What is the mood? What is the bhava? Bhava Vogyana Pasaputra Bhava. The devotional service has an underlying bhava, has an underlying mood. And to connect with that mood, he gives us different meanings of what these moods actually mean or what they imply. He says one is that Sarasa means, in other words, the holy name of Krishna, which interestingly here he says Sriman. Sriman is a very respectful address. Sriman is very gentle. It's very gentle. Wouldn't expect it to be the first thing, but he's saying that the holy name of the Lord is very gentle, and gentle paints a picture of someone who's very easily approachable, someone who's very kind. So this is Krishna's holy name. And, of course, rasa also means that it is composed of spiritual substance, or sat-chit-ananda. Namas-chintamani-nityas. So Krishna's name is Chintamani. What is the next line? Nam-chintamani-chaitanya-rasa-vigraha-purna-shuddha. Chaitanya-rasa-vigraha. So it is actually the form, the concentrated form, the essential form of transcendental consciousness of all spiritual potency. So it is a transcendental thing. The conversation, aside from, or that's included in the glorification of Nam Sankirtan, has 2 additional themes. The main theme is that the Vaikuntha Yugas emphasize the superiority of chanting aloud and serving the Lord with one's senses over the process of meditation, which Guru Kumar came in contact with when he was up in Tapaloka and met with the Kumaras, who told him that if you want to really control your mind and see the Lord, then just learn how to meditate. You sit down, you close your eyes, you absorb in meditation. And not only once, but they come back a second time, Vaikuntha Yudhas return to emphasize the fact, no, it's better to engage in devotional service with one's senses. Vishikena, Vishikesha, Sevanam, Bhakti, Vichate, and of the best types of devotional service, Nam Sankirtan is unique. It is the best devotional activity. But, and their other points are, that devotional service is not a material activity. I believe it's either the introduction or somewhere in the beginning of Nectar Devotion, Srila Prabhupada also starts off. In other words, devotional service is once again the devotion or the mood by which one performs an activity. The activity in itself is not necessarily devotional service. To the extent that Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, that the name that you're chanting may not be the name of Krishna. In other words, the letters that you're mouthing don't necessarily contain the letters of Krishna. It requires a certain consciousness, Krishna consciousness, in order to transform those letters into Krishna's name. The third, he says that the holy names are accompanied by all the rasas, which is a natural understanding, that they're accompanied by all the different relationships, which is headed by Yurisya Shringara Rasa. So whether one is aspiring in a relationship of friendship with Krishna, or a conjugal relationship, or a parental relationship, the holy name is like that. Chintamani, now it's Chintamani, it is Chintamani. Whatever you want, it will give you. The fourth is, and in two moods, that is in the mood of being, and also in the mood of separation. So, of course, generally, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught us to chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra in the mood of separation. And Shikshashtakam describes this mood of separation. So this mood of separation, but by chanting Hare Krishna, ultimately one feels Krishna's presence, and as they describe here, ultimately one sees Krishna. In fact, they say this is the goal of chanting, to see Krishna. It becomes the result. It isn't that we should just chant to see Krishna, we should chant to glorify Krishna, but ultimately the benefit of that will be for the perceiver. And then that chanting goes on, and it goes on in a mood of meeting. The fifth meaning is that rasa also means attraction to Krishna, or it means radha. So by chanting, one develops attachment. Attachment in very preliminary stages. We're all here, hundreds of Vaishnavas, Vaishnavis, all with different, unique stages of devotional service, but we have, amongst other things in common, one thing in common is that we're attracted to chanting Hare Krishna, otherwise we wouldn't be here. So, but where does that attraction to chanting Hare Krishna come from? It comes from the holy name of the Lord. It comes from this. Of course, other things contribute to that. The association of Vaishnavas, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. But by chanting, we develop the taste for chanting. And the more one chants properly, especially without offense, the more the taste for that chanting increases, increases, increases. So it inspires everyone to become attached to the holy name, and to become attached to Krishna. If you're becoming attached to Krishna's name, you're becoming attached to Krishna. Number six. Rasa also means special potency. In other words, this is the Yuga Dharma. It is especially empowered. Over and above all other devotional practices, Nam Sankirtan reigns supreme. Sanatana Goswami in his Sandarbha explains that all the other limbs, all the other angas of devotional service must be accompanied by Nam Sankirtan in order to quickly and fully give their result. It's like Arjuna. We're worshipping the deity, but how do we worship the deity? Always with kirtan, and never just without that. And with mantras that glorify. So it's very powerful. And number seven, it has exceptional quality. The holy name has an exceptional quality, sarasa. And Sanatana Goswami says, what is this exceptional quality of the holy name? Is that it has the potency to deliver the most fallen. Here we are. So, the most fallen, and how is it? What did Srila Prabhupada do 50 years ago? Srila Prabhupada walked out in the Thompson Square Park, and he chanted Hare Krishna. And he was really in the most fallen part of the most fallen city, amongst the most fallen people, and by chanting Hare Krishna, is Panchatattva, here is Srinam Mayapur, here is the Antanasati for Krishna Consciousness, and here we are. And it's just from chanting Hare Krishna. And that's all Prabhupada did. And he just chanted. So Srila Prabhupada's disciples, they all had experience of how long Srila Prabhupada held class. By this time, Prabhupada's class would be over. 20, 30 minutes, 40 minutes. Maybe it was because very often many of us were falling asleep. But Prabhupada's emphasis was, all right, just chant Hare Krishna. Chant, we did. We didn't fall asleep chanting Hare Krishna. But Srila Prabhupada gave such extraordinary emphasis, and therefore here we are. So that special potency of the holy name is there to actually deliver the most fallen. Is that Sukha Vishesh. Krishna says, what does Krishna say in the next chapter? Sukha Bhagavayam, that it is very joyfully performed. So there's a special bliss in chanting Hare Krishna, an easily attained bliss. We use the word bliss. It's not technically speaking ananda that we're experiencing real transcendental bliss, but we're certainly experiencing happiness. When the devotees chant, when they chant together, when they chant individually, they do it by japa, we feel happy. The fact that our minds cause us so much problem has nothing to do with the holy name. That's got to do with us. But the holy name gives us great pleasure. And we taste that pleasure without obstruction when we overcome the influence of our minds and we're able to actually move forward. And finally, the ninth one is Sarasam, exceptional sweetness. The holy name is very sweet. And there are many verses. This is a well-known verse. It's so well-known that I have to prompt myself to read it, just from the Skanda Purana. Madhura madhura meta mungala mungala nam sakana nikama bhavis satpalam chitsvarupam. And it goes on. Oh, best of Bhrigu dynasty, the holy name of Krishna is the sweetest of sweet, the most auspicious of the auspicious. This transcendental fruit of the Vedas is purely spiritual. Whoever chants it but once, whether with faith or with contempt, is liberated. So Sanat Goswami concludes there are more meanings to the word rasa, but he just says that this should give us an understanding of the greatness of Nam Sankirtan. And the understanding, the tattva behind chanting Sankirtan is what, as I referred to originally, what the Vaikuntha Gurus are telling Gopal Kumar, you got to know what you're chanting. You have to know what it's about. You have to understand, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, you have to know the sambandha, gyan, behind the holy name. You have to understand the principles underlying it, the methodology. You have to know what are the offenses that obstruct the result. Although Gopal Kumar was not committing any offenses. And you have to be versed in what the goal of chanting is. But let me read a few more of those verses that the Vaikuntha Gurus tell Gopal Kumar. He tells them where to chant. He says, if you're in a hurry to see the divine world of Vaikuntha, we're trying to go back to Godhead, then go to Sri Brajabhumi, the place that can best award the fulfillment of your ambitions. The Rupa Goswami says, Vrajagami, Anugami, that if you want actually to practice devotional service, you should be living in Vrindavan. Now we're in Vrindavan, we're in Sridhar Mayapur. So this is the best place. And as Prabhupada has elaborated other times, if physically you cannot live in Vrindavan, and for a preaching moment, obviously, we cannot do that. We have to live in other places, but in our consciousness, we should be living in Vrindavan, or at least we make our environment such, and that's why Srila Prabhupada said our temples are like our temples are full of Vrindavan. So they say, that's where you should chant. And then how you should chant? Simply practice pure devotional service, mainly the form of Nam Sankirtan, with the hope of gaining eternal contact of the Lord's divine. divine lotus feet. When Rupa Goswami is defining sadhana bhakti, he says, kriti sadhya pavit sadhya bhava sadhanami. He says, sadhana are those activities by which one desires to attain bhava. That every sadhana has to have a sadhya. So you define the practice by what's the result of that practice. We said the result of sadhana is bhava. Those activities, those devotional activities by which one desires to attain ecstatic love for Krishna. And then from ecstasy one attains love for Krishna. So he said, this is how you should chant. Yes, that we want to gain eternal contact with the Lord's lotus feet. And what will be the result? By that devotional service, you will soon realize the treasure of prema, and you will easily see Krishna in Vaikuntha. The Vaikuntha yugas are Vaikuntha bhaktas, but they're also clearly tuned in to what's going on in Goloka Vrindavan, and they're constantly using the word Krishna. I've been talking about Krishna here, and they know where Gokumar wants to go. Then they talk about how this prema sankirtan goes on. He says of the many ways to chant Krishna's glories, because you can chant just like when we chant Yashomati Nandana Prabhupada Krishna's names. We're chanting different names of Krishna. There's Nam Sankirtan, you can be chanting Lila Sankirtan, you can be chanting about Krishna's pastimes. You can be chanting about Krishna's form, Krishna's qualities, but the best sankirtan is chanting Krishna's name. So he says, amongst the many ways of chanting Krishna's glory, foremost is Nam Sankirtan. It is deemed the best because it can evoke at once the treasure of pure love. When relished with love, in countless ways through service rendered constantly by the tongue, the nectar, sarasam, of Sri Krishna's name delights the heart. Who can describe the unequaled Who can describe the unequaled excellence of that nectar of Sri Krishna's holy name? Though all the names of the Lord, and this is very interesting here, it shows the liberality which is there in chanting Hare Krishna. Though all the names of the Lord are equally great, a devotee most quickly and easily achieves his goals by chanting the name that he himself holds most dear. In other words, devotees may hold more dear. Someone may be more attracted to chanting Jayarada Madhava, meaning Madhava's name, meaning Shyamasundara's name, so many names of Krishna. They say, you can chant any name. Of course, we're chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, because this is the Mahamantra, this is what's given to us, but aside from that, there's no restriction. This is also a Diksha Nam mantra that we're chanting. Since people have different tastes, each name of the Lord is dear to one person or another. All the names of the Lord are therefore dear. When the nectar of the Lord's name appears in just one sense, all the senses are flooded with their own sweet tastes. So here the superiority, or this is the effect of chanting Hare Krishna. Because obviously it's not just our tongues that are tasting. Our ears are hearing it. And your mind is absorbed in that vibration. Actually, our senses are engaged. We're clapping our hands. We're playing instruments. Or, you see, devotees are obviously getting up and dancing and chanting. And that really engages all of your senses of the body. Sankirtan is something that is electrifying. And let me read this very beautiful verse. Appearing mainly in the sense of speech, the Lord's name gives pleasure to the chanter and to others. So even greater than meditation on the Lord is his name sanctified. Once again, they return to this emphasizing name sanctified. And what is the connection? Is chanting Hare Krishna something that we're just doing as a sadhana, and at some certain point, when one attains perfection, attains the goal, and leaves it behind? No, not at all. Actually, the symptom of someone who's perfected chanting Hare Krishna is that he can't stop chanting Hare Krishna. Because Namsakirtana invariably leads to the treasure of pure love of the Lord, true connoisseurs of devotional service consider Namsakirtana the very fruit of bhakti. According to some knowers of rasa, the real sign of a person full of prema, someone who's attained love, is this. As he performs sankirtan of the name he worships, the full force of spiritual agony erupts in him by the weight of his own love. So someone who has attained love of Godhead, the symptom that he's attained love of Godhead is that he continues to chant sankirtan. But the nature of that sankirtan, or the type of sankirtan, is called prema sankirtan. And in Chaitanya Charitamrita, you have a reference to this prema sankirtan when Maharaj Pratap Rudra, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, are on top of the palace, and they're seeing at a distance the residents of Navadvip coming, as they do every year, to Jagannath Puri for Rath Yatra. And Maharaj Pratap Rudra says, he says, what is this sound? He's a Vaishnava, so he knows what sankirtan is all about. He says, what is this sound? I've never heard such a sound before. And so Sarvam Bhattacharya says, this sankirtan that you're hearing is called prema sankirtan. It is a special type of sankirtan when all of the participants, or many of the participants, are absorbed in the love of Godhead. This becomes the fruit of prema. The sankirtan that comes is the fruit of prema. This is what you're hearing. And this is the type of sankirtan that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's eternal associates chant. I think I'm going to just stop there. I was looking for another verse that I can't find, but essentially it says, chanting Namsankirtan is like a mystical mantra, that it draws Krishna near. So, you know, you can achieve, you can use certain mantras, just like, for instance, if someone is bitten by a snake, a good snake charmer can call that snake back to take out the poison from, yes, the good snake charmer, to take out the poison out of the person that he's bitten. So mantras have a potency, they draw, or you want to achieve some particular thing, by the chanting of a mantra, that result will come. What's the result of chanting Hare Krishna? You draw Krishna closer and closer. And the more that our chanting becomes sarasa, becomes suffused with this type of mellow of devotional service, which comes as a consequence of knowing the principles of devotional service, putting them into practice, purifying our heart, then Krishna draws near. Therefore, and then once again they conclude, therefore honoring the order of Lord Shiva, you should leave this place at once, go to Divine Mathura, the place most dear to Krishna. O Mathura, we bow down to you. So Guru Kumar, at that point, just the chapter concludes, upon drinking this invigorating tonic for the ears and heart, I was filled with delight. I bowed down to the messengers from Vaikuntha and to Lord Shiva and his wife, and by their grace I was swept at once to this Vrajabhumi. Oh, how my mind was stunned. So, here the message that we received from Vaikuntha Dudas and Sanatana Goswami, that beautifully chanting Hare Krishna is good, and that's where we start. But ultimately that chanting needs to be enriched. And it needs to be enriched with the proper moods of chanting, which are represented or described by some of the meanings of this word, sarasa. And those moods of chanting become manifest the moment one applies oneself to the science of devotional service. It wasn't enough that Gokumar was in one sense actually already a pure devotee, that he was pure-hearted. He had no bad habits. He wasn't sinful. But he also has to have, it's not enough not to have anything bad. It has to be proactive. It has to be positive. One has to take advantage of the, for us, the transcendental literature that Srila Prabhupada has labored so hard. If they were not needed, all Prabhupada would have had to do is just chant Hare Krishna. He wouldn't have had to get up at midnight to write Srimad Bhagavatam. Why? But what purpose? If chanting Hare Krishna on its own, and Prabhupada could have just came, chanted, told everyone, all you have to do is just chant Hare Krishna and everything comes. But no, Prabhupada also presented his books to us. And he was very upset when he saw that his devotees weren't studying his books, reading his books, from all angles of vision. So if we want our chanting to really achieve its success, then we have to recognize that this is certainly the Srila Prabhupada's labor of love for us, the literature that Prabhupada left behind, and Srimad Bhagavatamrita is one book which Srila Prabhupada gives reference to, so yes, it should be read. But at least as Prabhupada says, these four, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Nectar of Devotion, Bhagavad Gita, read those, study those, know those. They will empower our chanting, but ultimately we can really achieve what we're here for, which is to go back home to God's house and get beyond the realm of liberation. Otherwise, this is as far as you go, which is liberation. I think our time is up, so I'll just stop there. And thank you all very much.
Did I ask a question?